And I meant to say this to begin with, but if this air up here kicks on, if y'all are asking questions, you're going to have to be loud because it sounds like a tornado up here. And if you're, whoever's talking, you'll know when this air's on, so if you're up here talking, you're going to have to talk a little bit louder. All right, up next we have Brittany Lipsy talking about managing sugarcane aphids in Mississippi grain sorghum.
All right, thank you for that introduction, Daniel. As he said, I'm Brittany Lipsy. I'm a master's graduate student under the direction of Angus Ketchot and Dr. Jeff Gore, and today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the influences of planting population on the sugarcane aphid in grain sorghum. So a little introduction on grain sorghum. It's one of the top five cereal grains. There's over 8 million acres planted in the U.S., with Kansas being the top producing state. Last year there was 115,000 acres planted in Mississippi. This year that was down in 2016, likely due to the sugarcane aphid and some other commodity prices and some other factors. So a little background on the sugarcane aphid. It was first reported in 1896 in Hawaii, and then on sugarcane in continental U.S. in 1994 in Florida, and 1999 in Louisiana on sugarcane. First report of it in continental U.S. on grain sorghum was in 2013. It was in Louisiana, Texas, and one county in Mississippi. And I'm going to go ahead and skip to the next slide and give you the description so you can see the pictures as I'm describing. So some of the distinguishing factors of the sugarcane aphid is the third picture over. It's going to be the black tarsi and the black cornicles and the yellow color. The yellow color sets it apart from most aphids except the yellow sugarcane aphid, which is also hairy. The sugarcane aphid is not. It is viviparous. It's parthenogenic. It can be alate or aptarian. It also takes 4 days for it to mature and 28 days. It can live up to 28 days. Produces copious amounts of honeydew. So all these conditions together can make this a devastating pest if you let it get to that point. So I just want to show you here, I'm going to talk a little bit about it in a minute, but on these pictures, this was my test. You can see in the left side, you can see some grain, some sorghum plants heading out and then some aren't. And the next picture is this little, you can't really see it, but it's a spot that's not heading out. That's due to the aphid. So the reason for showing those pictures is if you get an infestation at the flag or boot or head initiation stage, when that sorghum plant is putting all its nutrients into producing that head, it can cause grain loss, grain quality loss. It can cause uneven heading or necrosis of the plant. Now, if you get uneven heading, this can cause problems when trying to control midge. Instead of having to do one shot for midge, you might have to do two to get that whole flower protected from midge. So the objective of my study was to determine the influence of planting population and insecticide seed treatment on aphid densities in grain sorghum. And what prompted this research is this picture right here. And so what happens is you see this on the right, no, on the left, sorry, the two green rows and then the rest of it's dead. And so what happened was there was a malfunction when someone put the plate in our hopper four of our four-row planter. And so every down and back that we had in the field, there was more seed dumping out than should have been. So all throughout the field, we had the fourth and fifth row. Every fourth and fifth row had more seed than it needed to have. And we didn't think anything about it until aphid density started growing. And we started seeing that every fourth and fifth row was nice and pretty and green and putting on a grain head, but the other three rows were dying. So we wanted to see if that population increase made a difference. So we had a randomized complete block design with a factorial arrangement replicated four times in 2015 and 16. Factor A was being planting population. We did from 40,000 plants per acre to 160,000 plants per acre. And factor B was treated plots versus untreated plots. So the treated plots, we had thymethoxin as a seed treatment, and we also used foliar insecticides when the aphid densities reached the current threshold. The untreated plots were completely untreated. We analyzed this data using the regression analysis, and the analysis of covariance was used to compare the slopes. We took aphid counts when we saw densities in the field. We took them weekly for 15 lower leaves and 15 upper leaves. and then we estimated the number of aphids per leaf. At harvest, we harvested the center two rows and adjusted that to 13% moisture. So this is going to be for the treated plots for 2015, and let me set this graph up. On your y-axis, you're going to have the number of aphids, and then on the bottom axis, you're going to have my population. On the right side of the top or the left side, depending on what slide it is, you're going to have the statistics for it. So make sure you watch the scale on the left side. It will change during the presentation. So the yellow line is going to be the total number of aphids per plant. The bottom is just the bottom leaves, and the top is the top leaves. As you can see in this slide, the total and the bottom numbers were significant. We found that we found a lot more aphids in the lower populations than we did in the higher populations. So this is for the treated plots broken out in 2015 and 2016. Both of these years, we found more aphids in the lower populations than in the higher populations. So for the untreated plots, this is going to be the breakout of the plant, what part of the plant we found it on. This time the total and the top had the most aphids in the lower populations. So breaking out the untreated plots for 2015 and 2016, in 2015 we found a lot less aphids in the 160,000 population, and in 2016 there were no differences. As for yield, in 2015, the blue bar is going to be your treated and the yellow bar is going to be your untreated. On the left axis is going to be bushels, and then on the x-axis is going to be population. There was differences, significant differences both years. Also the treated made a big difference. In 2016, there was no differences because of aphids, but note treated and untreated made a big difference in your bushels per acre. So in conclusion, we observed a negative relationship between aphid numbers and population. As the population increased, aphid numbers decreased. The bottom leaves consistently had higher number of aphids than the lower leaves all throughout the season. In 2015, we had a positive relationship with the population and aphid numbers. So we saw an increase in population. We also saw an increase in yield. In 2016, there were no relationships between the population and the yield, but there was a drastic difference due to the seed treatment. And also, we think that what you saw in that first picture, there was a whole field. This was four-row plots. We think that the four-row plots diminished some of the results that we would have seen in larger plots. So going forward, we would like to look at this in a larger plot setting. I would like to acknowledge all the student workers, the other grad students that helped to make this possible, my major professors, and the lab technicians. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, sir.
What was your row spacing?
It was, in Stoneville, it's 40 inches, and in Starkville, it's 38 inches.
Do you think row spacing would have made a difference if it had been on 20s or 7.5?
It could have. I would like to see that. I haven't done that. My other test is in planting date, but I think it could make a difference, yes.
Why do you think you saw more aphids on lower populations than you did on higher populations?
So some of that I think could be attributed to you have less plants in the field, so they can't disperse on the more plants. And I think that's also maybe part of why we saw healthier plants with higher populations. There was less aphids concentrated on one plant doing less damage. Yes, sir.
I'm up in Kansas where we've got almost Nebraska now with hobo critters. We saw an awful lot of lodging. Did you see lodging? And ours basically, I think, was induced by probably some fusarium stock rot, but that was induced by drought stiffs that I think our apiary populations put on it. I mean, our leaves were crunchy with honeydew.
So in neither location, I had a little bit in Stoneville in a different test, but in the population test, I saw absolutely no lodging, and it was on two different soil types, so I don't know what could be attributing to that, but we did not see any lodging. Anything else? Yes, ma'am?
So are you recommending higher plant populations to growers?
Not at this point on this study. I would like to do larger plots and then find out exactly what's going on, and then maybe that could be a recommendation later. But as of right now, no, ma'am.
Any more questions? We've got plenty of time.
Are you looking for a branch or an off-site?
Yeah, definitely send him to see Dr. Larson. Anything else?
What do the agronomists think of the higher plant population?
I haven't really. I talked to Dr. Larson about it, and he said with the preliminary results, he would like to see more until he's gung ho about it. But he does see, he thinks there needs to be more research on it. Any more? Normal growing season. So last year it flooded,
well,
and this year it didn't.
We had almost 30 inches in parts of it during the growing season. We don't get that much.
So this year we didn't have that much, and the year before that it flooded all the time. So sorry.
Any more questions? We've still got plenty of time.
So I haven't. I was at the sugarcane aphid meeting this week, and we were talking about on a per acre basis, and I didn't do the calculations here, but now that I've thought about it, I would like to go home and look at that and see how it's playing out. Per acre, yes. So if it calculates to be the same amount of aphids. Anything else? All right, thank you.